Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. How you doing tonight, Dan?
Pretty good, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing good. Johnny's buying tonight at the bar because he has a new job. We're joined as always by John Peters, the latest Disney cast member. How you doing tonight, John?
Jumbo, everybody. Jumbo.
So let me see. Does that mean you're going to be working hopefully at the Animal Kingdom?
That would be correct. Yeah. I got a new part-time gig over the weekend, finally. Everything went through, and I am hired. I am going to be working park or attractions operations in Animal Kingdom in Africa. So the way I'm figuring it has to be one of three. I mean, there's only three attractions in Africa, right? Rafiki's Planet Watch, the Lion King show, and Kilimanjaro Safari. So I'm hoping desperately for Kilimanjaro Safari, although I will get a certain joy out of if I get put on Rafiki's Planet Watch just to tease Doug.
So. if you head out to Conservation Station every day on that train, I'm going to be highly pissed off.
Well, you're working.
I will blow
Disney
the whistle World. Extra times just for you. So.
You're working at Disney World, so how bad can it be? Whatever you get put on or whatever you end up doing, it's going to be awesome.
Hello? Yes, hello, sir. Disney? Yes, I was on the train the other day, and this guy John treated me horribly. Horribly, I tell you. Get him off the train.
No, man, I get a complaint against me already.
Yes, if you break my stones, I will be calling Disney. I will be talking about the knucklehead on the train. So you excited about this, John? I mean, we've been holding under wraps for a couple months now as you've been going through the whole process. So you excited?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very, very happy. I decided a couple of months ago I needed to get real serious and try to pay off some of my credit card debt that coincidentally was installed or, you know, incurred at Disney. So I might as well use Disney to try to get out of my credit card debt. And what better way than to try to get a part-time job out there on the weekend? So, I think I started way back at the beginning of May, maybe even April to try to get it going, and it's taken this long through paperwork and rigmarole and stuff like that to finally get it going. So it's definitely, especially for a part-time job, I mean, with the selective hours that I have to do things, it's not something that you can get done in a weekend. So, but I'm very happy. I took the first couple classes over the weekend, and next Sunday I will be out doing the Animal Kingdom tour and stuff like that, and fit it for the uniform, the costume, and all that good stuff.
So, I mean, we got calls here at the pub, and they were doing background checks and doing – and me and Dennis kept telling them, no, don't do it. I mean, whenever one of us answered the phone, we kept telling them not to hire you, and they did anyway.
Yeah, you believe it. You believe it. Hey, they didn't believe you two guys. I mean, wow, there's a stretch.
Well, we did get security change at the front of the Magic Kingdom. We've gotten a lot done on this podcast, you know, and I couldn't stop them from hiring you, though.
Well, so. I know you tried awful hard, but that's okay. I snuck through.
So, and Dennis even tried, believe it or not.
I did. No, I'm actually very proud of you that you've, I'm sure it's something being a Disney fan that you've wanted to do? I mean, you said you had to do it to pay off some bills, and, you know, we've all been there. At one point in my life, I had three jobs. But, you know, the fact that you can do it at Disney, you're one of your favorite places on this earth, that makes it a little less I mean, going into a part-time job after working a full week at your full-time job, you know, could be a little daunting, but I think you're going to have a little spring in your step going to this second job.
Well, the fact is I could have got a job at friggin' Walmart in town if I just wanted to really right. just concentrate on paying my bills off. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that element of, well, if I'm going to have to do that, let me have some fun and enjoy where I'm working at and try to oh, God, I'm going to sound corny here, but spread the magic as much as I can while I'm out there. So.
I can see me and Waldorf sitting there right now and going – avoid that guy over there, kids. You don't want to ask him any questions.
Now, the trick's going to be, John, to get your paycheck into your bank account and you off property without giving the money back.
Direct deposit, Dennis.
Well, speaking of, I may have picked up my company-issued ID yesterday, and Dennis, I may have already hit the discount store. So I may have already spent more money than I made.
So you went
How'd
to
that
the,
turn out?
Company D store, or did you go at Team Disney, or where did you do that?
It's the cast member store, the one out by actually on my way home, unfortunately. Like, if I leave Animal Kingdom, I pass right by this place on the way home. It's right before you get on the 429 out by Coronado Springs, if you're leaving that way. And they have some fantastic deals. So.
They do.
Now, is that the only store on property? Isn't there another one in one of the parks then? Didn't there used to be, or is there still in there? In the studios, right?
Yeah, there's a company, they call them Company D stores, and they're backstage at each of the four theme parks, and they're for cast members only. And then there's the, like the, I call them the outlet stores. They're the remember I talked about the metal shed buildings? Those are behind the Magic Kingdom. And this one that John's talking about, I'm not familiar with that one, so I don't know if it's new since I stopped being a cast member or not, but they tend to have, like, the surplus merchandise and different things that don't sell that you can get for pennies on the dollar, right, John?
Oh, yeah, some fantastic prices. So, yeah, my wife was rather happy with me when I got home last night. So,
first time for everything. Oh, yeah, I thought I had my mic muted. I'm sorry. I said that out loud.
Once a year.
But no, John, we're really happy for you. And, hey, down the road, you'll be able to save on your annual pass. You stay a cast member. All that stuff adds up. It'll be good times. Plus, you get your discounts, like you said.
Absolutely. So, and not to mention that I'll be out there. So, I mean, if I do want to catch – you know, the new fireworks show at the Magic Kingdom, the Happily Ever After show or something like that, and my shift ends at 6 o'clock or something, I'm, you know, lined up perfectly to be able to catch that. So it'll be hard pressed though if that shift ends at 7 o'clock to not stop and get a Lefendemon and watch Illuminations bar at home. But
that's a good thing. You'll be able to stay and play a little bit and hang out and enjoy enjoy yourself. And your wife can come over, Lisa can come over. She can play all day while you're working, which is a great thing. She'll probably enjoy herself a little more roaming around World Showcase alone without you yelling at her, get out of mouse gears. You know what I'm saying?
Get out of there. I want a beer. So,
and she'll be like, well, I could buy two extra items because I'm not buying a Lefendemon today and an ice beer over in Japan.
Yeah, that's probably what she's thinking already. So,
but we're happy. So how did the traditions course go?
It was actually both classes I went to over the weekend. They were really informative. I mean, they're classroom classes, you know, and we were supposed to go to the Magic Kingdom on the first day of class on Saturday, but, thunderstorms threatened, and so they kept us in the classroom, and we just did more of that. So, but both of them were interesting. I mean, you learn a lot about the four keys to the kingdom, they call it, the four important things. Would you like to know what these four most important things to working at Disney World is?
Get more money, get more money, get more money, get more money.
Okay, I would like to say that Doug Davis said that. John Peters has no, does not reflect the views or.
Sorry, buddy. I apologize. I'm only playing. Get more discounts. Go ahead, John. What are
safety,
they?
safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency are the four key components to Disney World. So, and I'm pretty sure that actually they even said it, if you take the keys to the Kingdom Core the backstage tour and stuff like that, that they even cover those in those classes too, or in those tours, to give you a background of what it takes to actually, you know, be part of Disney. So
yeah, Lee Cockrell was on with Lou Mangiello on WDW Radio. And it was and me and Dennis have talked, he's been on many times. But he covered a lot of that stuff too, because he does all that. He writes those motivational books now and business books and all. And he was saying the same, he was telling his cast members too, he said that no matter what's going on, you got to keep a smile on your face and don't get angry. Which I would have no problem with that. But so that's what I'm worried about, because that my dream is working down there too. But I just don't want to be a pushover, because I know I can be.
I don't see you working in guest relations, Doug. I just don't see that really happening. To.
No, I'll be happy building a fence, putting the boat dock in. That's where I'm best needed. You know what I'm saying?
You go over there with that pile of lumber away from all the people.
Yes, exactly. I am a people person, though. I just don't like nasty people. I just tell it like it is. But I know when to smooze. I can smooze people when I need to. But yeah. I'm glad you're in, John. So what other things did they tell you in this course?
Well, we covered those. I mean, those repeatedly get covered a lot. You know, the key components to actually working out there, and we watched a lot of videos, clips from YouTube and stuff like that about, you know, the importance of getting to Disney. You know, the little kids that flip out when they find out they're going to Disney World. We watched all those. We watched several videos of cast members.
It sounds like my normal Saturday night.
Pretty much.
Watching Disney videos.
A lot of that. A lot of that. That I got home and told my wife, and she's like, "Yeah, I watch that all the time." So, a lot of that type of stuff. So, and that was basically a lot of that, and a lot of learning the proper techniques of handling situations and stuff. And then the second day, we learned a whole lot about proper lifting techniques and stuff like that in operations class. And I'm not exactly sure how much lifting I'm going to do. Am I going to really end up doing more lifting, you know, working on Kilimanjaro Safaris than I do in my job? But okay.
Well, if you're working on Kilimanjaro Safari, I'm going to expect you to lift me up and put me in the Jeep.
There you go. So.
No, but it sounds like Disney OSHA.
Yeah, they cover their bases. That's for sure. So
Disney OSHA courses.
Now, John, did they teach you about the Disney point?
Two fingers or a palm. That is not a one finger. Oh, yeah, we covered that.
Never, ever point.
Not with one finger, that's for certain. Yep. Absolutely not. So.
Now, this middle one I use all the time is not good.
That would not be appropriate.
I did use that the other day when I was driving home with you on the phone, John. I thought I was pointing the proper way. But no, I heard that then. You told me about that before.
It is pretty, not amazing, but if you watch cast members when you're down in Disney World, like if you ask them a question like, "Hey, where's the train station?" da 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 da, and you'll see when they point in a direction, they always will do it with two fingers, or like John said, with a palm. It's never because a single finger, no pun intended, middle finger, but the you know, a point is they take it as kind of it's a. How do I want to say it? I don't know. It's kind
it's
of
not polite. It's not polite to point at somebody.
A rude gesture was how they covered it. So
I have to admit, though, Dan, if you've told me that a few years ago, and I also heard that from other people. Yeah. And I have to admit, I've asked, and I'm bad. I have asked cast members if something like where something is, and I'll point myself, hoping that is it there? Is that where you're? And I'm hoping they'll do
Seeing
it.
Seeing if they'll do it.
I have to be Inspector 12 in the underwear aisle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
The Fruit of Loom Inspector 12 is Doug. But you know what I'm saying? I have tried that before, and they won't. They won't budge. It is always two fingers.
Yeah. Well, the ones that are, you know, good cast members. I have seen people point, but tends to be, you know, fringe employees or maybe somebody that really doesn't want to be there and they have to be there and they're not into it. But most of your Disney cast members want to be there and they want to do things by the book and they will do it correctly.
Oh, I cannot wait to give John a hard time in the Animal Kingdom this winter.
Oh, hey. You know what? I'm going to be on break when you show up.
No. I'm going to sneak up on you. I'm gonna come up with some things to see how you handle it.
No, God. I don't want to get tested by Doug Davis.
I'm going to set some things up. See how John is nice. Like, pretend my ankle sprained or something. See if he'll walk me over to first aid. See how he does it. I want to see how he's trained. I want to make sure he's trained properly.
The pressure.
So the dream. Go ahead, Dennis. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, plus, John, we get all these friends in the Disney community. We can stuff the ballot box and see if we can get you a raise. We can write how wonderful you do and how we had a great experience at Disney due to Mr. Peter's expertise. And we'll have you climbing the ladder, and you'll be the president of the Animal Kingdom before you know it.
Yeah, I'll be calling there. He bought me a golden monkey, and then called 3 days later. He bought me a golden monkey. Three days later, he bought me a golden monkey.
You might want to stay away from me purchasing any alcohol for you.
No, I'm kidding with you.
How about a soda?
No, but he went above and beyond. He even took his handkerchief out and swept off my seat before I sat on the train. He was such a gentleman. So the dream is you want Kilimanjaro Safari over the other two?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely want Kilimanjaro Safaris. And then just with my driving background, I'd love to get to a point where I could actually drive the Kilimanjaro Safari trucks. I mean, that would be one of my dream jobs out there, perhaps until Star Wars Land over at Hollywood Studios opens up. And then I know I wouldn't even see you guys if
no.
I get over there. So.
No. Hey, Dan, could you see us now if he's driving that Jeep? Mister, what animal's that, mister? Mister, what animal's that, mister?
I lost my hat. Can you stop? I lost my hat.
Yes, but that would be cool, John. That would be – I said that to Dennis off the air before. I would love to drive one of those Jeeps.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. I think it would be awesome. But I also think if I had to do it for any length of time, that would start to – bother my back after a while, because the suspension on those, as you know, is not too good. So I mean, it might be fun the first five times you go through, but maybe the 50th time might be a little like, oh boy, this is brutal. I'm just thinking.
And then what do they do, John? Like, you'll rotate. I mean, how many people? I was thinking about it the other day. What is there, like 5 or 6 people that work in that Kilimanjaro Safari line alone?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot like when I worked at Wet n Wild, we had rotations, and then you would have 4 or 5 spots on a rotation, and you would be at the top of a slide, and then top of another slide, then the bottom of a slide, and that type of thing, then maybe at the beginning of the queue type stuff. And I'm thinking that a lot of the attractions at Animal King or at all the parks are like that, because they don't want you standing at the beginning of the queue for 4 hours and then taking a break and then standing there for another 4 hours. So, you know, you're going to stand there for half an hour, 45 minutes, and then you're going to get bumped to the next spot, and then you'll be down halfway through the queue, and then you'll get bumped probably down to counter guy. How many is in your party, please? How many is in your party? That type of thing. So,
right.
And then I think the drivers are different, because I think that's maybe a step up or something like that. But I think the queue rotation is something.
To me, that makes sense, because you got to keep your enthusiasm, right? I mean, yeah. You know, you got to keep that smile, and you got to be friendly to each and every guest. And, you know, I would guess after 45 minutes of, you know, that smile painted on your face and dealing with all the issues that are likely to happen with screaming kids and people asking you the same question over and over and over and over again, you know, it takes some work to keep that up for any length of time.
I'll tell you what, that area, though, it wouldn't be that bad, because I think the last time we were there, there was like 3 or 4 cast members out in front of Kilimanjaro Safari alone, like standing out in that courtyard there. And that wouldn't be a bad area to stand, because there's shade, there's fans there, plus you have the
the dancers and the African singers and the whole nine yards. You get to smell some of the barbecue coming down the way. It wouldn't be a bad place to be hanging out.
No, that's what I'm looking forward to. And then, like I said, I'd love to work my way into actually driving the truck. So.
No, I wonder if you'll be in Rikifi Planet Watch. We'll get you to be inside that little queue there where you show everybody how the Tigers ate the big balls, what food you feed them. I mean, there's a lot of people in there too, John. I wonder if you'd be out at Conservation Station.
I don't know, but the different walks and stuff, like the Gorilla Falls and stuff like that. I think they try to put kids that are actually in college that are taking zoology or maybe majoring in zoology and stuff like that in there, because maybe they'd have a little more information. But heck, I'd love any of those. I mean, I can do my homework and learn out the ins and outs of gorillas and stand there and talk about them. So
yeah,
I'd love that. So
we'll see John out at the petting zoo. He'll be standing next to the donkeys.
With the goats. Yeah, with the
coach. Donkeys and the goats.
Yeah, that would be the most fascinating thing ever, right? It's not like I don't live out in Bushnell surrounded by goat farms already.
Well, you'd be very informative. You would know what you're talking about. Now, would you have any interest in – I mean, I wonder if eventually would you have any interest in – would you rather be in – out of all of them, Africa, Asia, Pandora, what would your choice would be Africa, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I've done my Pandora ride school, so that's about all I can say about that. So.
What about Expedition Everest?
It would be fun, but no, I think I'd like Kilimanjaro Safaris is my favorite ride out there. Basically because it's a different experience every time you go on it. You never know when that lion's going to be awake. You never know if I might actually see the wild African dogs up sometime. I don't know. I haven't yet, but I love that ride, and I love the fact that you get to pretend for, 20 minutes you're actually in the wilds of Africa. So,
I'll tell you what though, the best of all of them as a cast member would probably be the Lion King, because you get to go in the air condition, you get to chill. You're not in the shade all day, you're never out in the heat. You know what I'm saying? That would probably be the easiest of the three.
Yeah, not to mention that you get to watch a show
all day,
eight
long.
Times a day.
Yeah. Well, you get to see different kids. Like, to me, I'd be fan watching the kids be all happy and the families. And because that show, I don't care how bad a day you're having, when those monkeys come out, it's a good time.
Speaking of, there was a group of I think four dudes, and you could tell they were smaller guys, probably 5'5", 5'6". And
now we're picking on short people. Don't do that here. These are John's opinions, not mine.
I'm just saying, you could tell they were gymnasts. Well, not only were they short, they were in a hell of a lot better shape than anybody else in the class. You could tell they were gymnasts.
And were they walking on their hands?
No, they were.
Well, then don't assume
anything,
John.
Well, the fact that they said they're going to be tumble monkeys, I'm going to go ahead and think they're going to be tumble monkeys.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that. I enjoy that show. I even got picked on for periscoping that show on my last trip, which I don't get why.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, talk about I had to do my Disney, count to 10 in Disney to calm me down when I was getting the grief from that. But I love that show, and I think it's even better in the new theater.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think it's better. Same show, obviously, but it's a, theater just for it, and it's not like the temporary tent-type structure they used to have. It's an awesome show, and you're right, it is the music and the puppetry. I mean, and to me, it's just the perfect length, too. I mean, it's not too long, and it's not, in and out either. It's just right where you keeps your attention, and something's always happening, and it's a great, great show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the videos we watched when they were talking about the importance of cast members and how you can change and really make a guest day and stuff like that was one of the cast members from the Lion King show took a girl up in a wheelchair and toured her around. You know how the little kids get up and at the end of the show and they kind of parade around So one of the cast members grabbed the girl in the wheelchair and pushed her around, and the mom wrote this beautiful letter back to Disney about how that made her a complete trip, and it was fantastic. Wow. So yeah.
Now, John, speaking of that, and we've all heard the stories and actually have seen this happen, and I'm just wondering if they covered this or what your understanding is. So it's talking about making guests day, like, you know, we've all seen the kid drop the ice cream and someone from Disney will run over and get him another ice cream and give it to him. Do you have the authority to do that as a cast member, or is that something that management has to do, or is that forbidden, or is that just a rumor that's not supposed to happen, or how does it, what do you read on that?
That's called empowerment. And there are certain jobs and certain roles that you're going to play that, yes, you're encouraged. And I mean, not to give stuff away randomly, especially to your friends and stuff like that. But I mean, if you see something like that, okay, so the guest buys a fresh bottle or fresh thing of popcorn, and then the seagull attacks, you know, you're expected to step in and do something about that. I mean, yeah, there's an empowerment, they said, where you're allowed to, or not even allowed, you're encouraged to try to make there's forms you have to fill out and everything afterwards and stuff like that, but you are definitely encouraged to try to make a especially anybody that seems to be having a not so magical day, and encourage, you know, to try to turn it around for them.
Oh, that's good that's a standing policy, and I've seen that, and I'm glad to hear that it is encouraged, because that I've seen that turn people's day around when they're having a rough time, or their kid has a meltdown or something like that, and a cast member is able to put a smile on their face and kind of turn their frame of mind around.
No, that's good. Yeah, that they encourage you to do that. Mm-hmm. That's the Disney difference, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I mean, other stores are encouraged to prove that the customer is wrong. You knucklehead, you shouldn't have been eating your ice cream outside with the birds and the animals. You know, the worst thing I ever seen was, and this is the truth. Me and my wife were down the Jersey Shore a few years ago. She took me for my birthday to see Tim McGraw, Faith Hill. We went down for the weekend, and she wanted funnel cake, and you know Brenda, I told you before, she don't like to eat a lot of bad things, but she was in the mood for funnel cake. You're down the shore. Dude, we got this funnel cake, and she didn't have it for I mean a minute, and the seagulls attacked us so bad, they ripped it right out of our hands.
Oh, boy.
She had like two bites of funnel cake, and the seagulls were gone with it.
Wow.
And I'll still never forget that. I mean, it was craziness. And you wanted to say something because of everybody. And that's the point with everybody feeding them.
Right.
It ain't their fault. You're serving this on a plate for me. Yeah. So that's why when you're in the parks, they don't feed the birds. You know
right.
what I mean?
It just trains
stuff like
them.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
It humanizes them.
Food. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I told you guys last time we ate at the Flame Tree Barbecue. A guy came up and said, and turned around to put his kid in the child seat, and a bird reached right over and took his entire pork sandwich right off of his plate. So, neat as a pin, whoop, and gone. So,
and you can't blame the bird.
No, it's just it's a learned behavior, right? So that bird has probably done that, you know, 100 times before, and it all started by somebody probably, you know, leaving it there or offering it to the bird, and then the generations of birds have learned that habit, and it gets to be a big mess.
Well, where we're at the college right now, the guys there, they feed them every day, and you should see the finches. There's like 50 of them there every day at lunchtime.
Right.
They know they're going to be fed. And it's like clockwork, and that's the same thing in the park. They're not doing it. I mean, Disney loves animals more than anybody. I mean,
right.
they're the whole Animal Kingdom Park is everywhere you turn to asking you to donate for the animals, and they do it. Like, did you guys watch that Animal Kingdom movie, that documentary on Animal Kingdom, on Animal Planet the other day?
I actually have it on pause right now because that's what I was watching while I was waiting for you guys to call. So I'm halfway through it. So,
Dennis,
yeah.
Have you seen
it yet? No, I didn't even know it was on, to be honest with you.
Oh, it was phenomenal. And it was showing the two tigers that are at the over at in Asia. And there are two rare taggers, and one is 8, the other one is 5, and they're hoping that they'll finally mate. They're hoping to have the first tagger born on Disney property. And that would be really cool, because now I know that, I forget now, but me and Brenda can't wait to go down there, because we got them on tape upstairs to remember their names. So right, you know what right. to call them when we're down there. But mm-hmm. the male is 8, and the female, she's 5 years old. Have you seen that part yet, John?
That's actually where I paused it at. So, yep.
And it's very interesting. Like, Dennis, they don't. You would think that they just covered Pandora. They actually cover the entire animal. It's more about the rest of the park than it is Pandora. Pandora comes on at the end.
I'll have to check that out. I'm sure I can get it on something. What is it? Was it on Animal Planet, you said?
Yes, yeah. It's on yeah. Animal Planet.
All right. I'll check it out.
Yeah, you'll really like it. The reason I brought it up is because John working there now, yep. I'm going to have to do watch this over and over again and then try to stump him with questions.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be a test. Goodness.
Yeah, well, we always have to test you. But, I mean, looking forward to next weekend? I mean, what do they do next weekend? They walk you through everything at the Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, we're going to do a tour of the park with somebody, and then I think get fitted for the uniform, and then learn a lot more stuff about actually specifically working in Animal Kingdom in Africa. So,
now we're excited about seeing you down there, John. We can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited about getting out there. So I'm hoping some of our friends from the show will stop by and say hi if they see me in line. So, and it's John from Orlando. So,
John, I'm just curious about the class. So I would imagine there was a range of everything from college program kids to maybe retired folks. Is that accurate? Or
Yeah. There was I would say probably 50% of the people were excited to work there. Then 40% were ecstatic to work there. These were people that had been dreaming about working there, had moved down from around the country to work here, and then even some people that had got engaged at Disney, you know, or heard a couple of those stories, right. Stuff like that. And then 10%, if 10%, maybe more like 5%, were people that maybe weren't just looking for a job. There was actually, yeah, one woman at my table that just, she had no interest in, Mickey Mouse comes in at one point and stuff like that.
You there, Johnny?
Crap in the middle.
What was that again? We lost you for a second. What did you say after Mickey Mouse came in?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse came in. Like I said, there was a woman at my table. She just didn't care. She was not into it at all. She had no interest whatsoever. You could tell she was just out there for a paycheck. But you know what? She's probably.
Yeah. And John, you probably had your
whole Disney thing.
You probably had your autograph book out trying to get her to sign it for you.
I was like, how do I get a picture with this Mickey? I don't think I have this one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sad to hear, but it's the reality of it. I mean, there's people that, you know, really just are there for the paycheck, and I guess if they're qualified and they meet all the criteria, that Disney has to hire them, because I would imagine for some roles it's very tough to fill, so they can't be as, I mean, I'm sure they'd love everybody that they hire to be in that 40% that's ecstatic to work there, but it's just not the reality of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, and she was definitely the very, very small percentage. I mean, there was a guy that was sat at the table with me that was from DeLand, which is a local town around here, that he was getting a job there because his 3-year-old son was autistic and hadn't spoke at all yet. And they took him out to the Magic Kingdom a couple of weeks ago, and he walked right up to the cast member at the Haunted Mansion and said, "Hello, I'm Jacob Mallory. What's your name?" And
wow.
both the father and the wife just went, "Holy crap!" So now they've got to, you know, they're doing everything they can to get their son back out to Disney, because that's such a poignant moment. They want
right.
to, you know, make sure that they continue on with it. So, and there was quite a few stories like that. There was another guy that sat at the table with us that was a chef in Pittsburgh, an executive chef, had been in the Army for 20 something years, retired. Became an executive chef in Pittsburgh, and his wife talked him into, you know what my dream is? I want to move to Orlando and work at Disney. So she's working at the Red Trolley Cafe, and he's going to be one of the new executive chefs at sous chefs at one of the new restaurants at Disney Springs. He doesn't know which one yet, though. So,
wow.
But there was a whole variety of people, and like I said, I would say the vast majority of people were excited to be there. So,
no, I mean, I'm excited, like I said, to be. Be down there days when you're working and you don't know I'm at the park.
see now I'm going to be weary the entire time.
We got to start holding t-shirt giveaways, Dennis, for who can scare John the most at the park.
Yeah. There you go.
Doug's mission now to get me fired from work.
No, I do not want to get you fired. I just want to have some fun with you, John. I hope you're there for the next 30 years, buddy, and enjoying yourself. I hope you become as big as a mainstay as our buddy was over at the Yacht and Beach Club, the greeter. What was his name?
Art.
Art, yes. I was going to say Al. I would have been close.
Yes.
But, yeah, we hope everybody knows you as John at the Animal Kingdom.
That sounds good to me. That's the goal. So.
So, I mean, well, hopefully. No, he wants to be Baby Chewbacca over at Star Wars Land.
Yes.
Is what he's hoping to be. That's his dream, but I don't know. I'm just excited to see you at the parks. I know you're going to be happy. We're excited about getting some, you know, stories and different things that go on in the future of, you know, some inside stuff at the parks. Nothing that you can't give away, but I mean, just on normal day-to-day basis of what it's like to be a cast member.
Yeah, absolutely, and maybe some stories about, you know, hopefully some things that I can do to helpfully turn people's days around, and I'm really going to be looking forward to that type of stuff, because that's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, I love Disney, and I want everybody to love Disney, so I'm really looking forward to trying to brighten people's days when they're out there. So.
Now, go ahead, Denny. No,
I was just going to say, do you know what type of costume? I mean, does everybody wear the same thing, or is it attraction-specific? I don't remember. Is it... How does that
work? I think those three attractions are all different. So I think whichever one I get planted on, I'll get the specific uniform there. But I think they did say once that you're familiar with it and you get everything done with one attraction, they will cross-train you to the other couple of ones around there. So
I see.
I wouldn't doubt that I get cross-trained on the other ones. So.
Now, and that was a big thing, too, and again, you can speak to it. I'm sure they covered it. I know back in the day it was taboo. Like, you couldn't leave property in costume. You had to change and then leave property. But in recent years, I've run into cast members at Dunkin' Donuts off property and different places that are in costume. So is that permissible? Can you wear your costume to and from work?
When I was out there in 87 or 88 when I worked at on the monorail, you weren't allowed to take that uniform anywhere out of that casting, you know, locker
right.
room when you
right.
came in. But now I know, specifically Animal Kingdom, when we park at Animal Kingdom and you're walking in instead of taking the tram past the cast member parking lot, and there's always people coming out of their cars and stuff in the uniforms
right.
and the costumes. So
which,
I think maybe they've relaxed that rule a little bit. So.
Yeah. I mean, because not only on property, but like I said, I've seen them in, you know, Walmart or wherever we were, just randomly. So I'm assuming that it's okay and Disney doesn't have a problem with it. But it kind of, to me, lessens the magic.
Yeah.
You know, I understand why they did.
Well, that's why the
Unitillers
were built.
Right. Exactly.
So nobody's seen
yeah.
people in costume or out.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think Disney frowns upon it, but I don't think it's outlawed, but I don't plan on it. I mean, if I have any opportunity, I will keep my uniform or costume in the locker at work and then I'll just
right.
wear regular, you know, I mean, heck, I'm used to it. I was in the Navy for years. I mean, I'll just wear my civvies in, and, you know,
yep.
my civvies out because,
right.
Well, on top of that, I mean, if I'm out there until 4 or 5 o'clock, I want to have plans to go to a park or something afterwards. So I want to have a regular, you know, clothes to change into.
True.
So,
yeah.
So
now is there, how can I put this? Is there like locker rooms and stuff like that right at the Animal Kingdom, or do you go to a central area?
I think there's some right backstage at Animal Kingdom. So,
okay. But you haven't seen that. You're going to see that this weekend.
Yeah, you are correct.
Okay, so we're going to get all the insight on this then.
Yes.
We need to know if there's a cafeteria back there where you eat. Do you go to, do you have the food from the Tusker House or Yak and Yeti? I mean, what kind of food are you eating back there? I want to know. At the end of the day, it's all about food here at the pub.
Yeah, and I don't think I'll be eating any of the Yak and Yeti stuff.
No. You'll be eating the peanut butter sandwich you bring with you, John.
Exactly.
But I didn't know if any of the counter service stuff, if, you know, what they supply for you guys. Do you have to buy your own lunch? Do they have a cafeteria where you can buy lunch? Do they have? No,
yes,
that's what I'm just curious at each park.
Yeah.
You know, at each park. That's all.
Well, at the place that I went to class over this weekend, they had a cafeteria that was open on Saturday, and yeah, you obviously bought your own lunch. So
what kind of lunch did you get?
I think I had a cheeseburger or something like that.
How was it?
It was good. I mean, it was a typical Disney cheeseburger. So,
It typically $12, or was it cast member prices?
Well, what do you think?
It was $12.
$12.
Was it $12?
It was not $12.
Well, was it McDonald's a dollar meal, or was it somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between. So
look
we'll
at him.
He
ain't even giving us the price of the cheeseburger, Dan. You better text me the price off the air, damn it. Inquiry minds want. I'm not going to be out of sleep tonight until I know what that cheeseburger cost. Now, did it come with apple slices, or did you actually get french fries with it?
There was fries. There was fries.
I mean, do you guys still believe that? I mean, that's one of the craziest things that cracks me up when they offer you those apple slices. Like, who in their right mind gets a burger and apple slices?
Yeah, it's you know, if you're going to eat the burger, go for the gusto and get the fries, right?
I mean, I've never had, in my entire life, I've never ate a burger and then had an apple slice.
Right. Maybe if you got the veggie burger, it'll go better.
I mean, yeah, maybe, yeah. Maybe you need the apple to rub on the veggie burger and make it taste good.
Right.
Now, have you ever eaten that apple after having a burger, John?
I can't say I have, and I don't think I'm going to start.
So, but yeah, I heard you get major discounts on Le Fin de Monto.
No, unfortunately. No beer discounts.
No, so. We were hoping for you. But no, John, we're looking forward to hearing many, many stories, and we're happy for you, and we'll try to keep you out of trouble. I mean, if there's anything I said tonight, I'm not cutting it out, but in the future, I will. look, we can't even get him to laugh now. He's so uptight.
Hey, I just started. I mean, hey, relax.
I'm just kidding with you. No, but speaking of relaxing, have you guys listened to Tiki Talk podcast lately?
I have not.
I mean, they've done a really good – they're doing a really – the last two episodes really cracked me up. I've been listening to them. You know, I'm at work, and – I listen to them and Mike and the Mickey. Well, of course, the Mickey dudes, because I got to hear, one, I love their show, and two, I got to hear what they are picking on me about so I can defend myself. And I never start with those guys. I just don't understand why they keep putting me down. I just don't get it.
Well, you and your chocolate balloons are going to live forever. So, I mean, it's just.
You know what? I am so proud of them. I am. This is the truth. I am so proud because that was back when I had zero jadedness. And to this day, I still love Disney, and I'm trying to figure out. I can't wait to get down there in the winter. I love it. And as much as I pick on it, let's get this straight. I love it more than I'm against it. When I'm against it, I got to be honest or we can't do this show. I mean, if all three of us just sat here, Lou does that show already. And I love him for it. He is the most positive guy. I have not missed the show of Lou's since episode one. I listen to every one of them, and I love Lou. And the reason I'm doing this is because I heard Lou, and I said, if this guy from New York can do it, I can do it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's another New Jersey guy that loves pork roll and cheese. I said, if he could do it, I could do it. But okay. So I listen to all these shows, and I do love Disney. And I was listening to the Tiki Talk podcast. And, John, for a little bit, I was feeling bad for picking on you. The way I tease you and stuff like that. But we're buddies, so we can do that. That's what you do in the pub. But after listening to the way they get on Scott, I don't feel bad no more. I actually treat you too good.
Okay. So you got to redouble your efforts. Is that what you're saying?
No. But it was like I thought like the bad guy. But if you guys can, the last two episodes were really good. What they did is they kind of did – know how we do the $80 a day, and they have done 40 and stuff like that. Well, what they really did was, which was a good idea, we won't copy it, I promise, guys, because we don't want to get in trouble. But what they did is they do the they do episodes where they do the dining plan. And right. they do what they would actually eat that day, and then they add the money up to see if it was worth having the dining plan that day.
Oh, that's not a bad idea at all.
No, they and that it was a really good. Interesting show in that one, and then they also did their five favorite snacks for the dining plan. And they gave away some really good snacks, like I think it's at the Tusker House. I'm trying to remember. Or Flame Tree Barbecue. They have a rib and fried. John, have you ever seen this? It's kind of like the short ribs or whatever over the French fries.
No, I haven't.
No, it's supposed to be like that. It's kind of like that thing I was talking about that I got at Victory Brewing Company. And right, they serve right. it there. And supposedly you can get it as a snack credit. And it's a $6.79 is what it costs. But they'll allow you to get that as a snack credit.
Well, see, that would if you do things like that, you can make it work for you. So if you work hard, you can do it.
It's absolutely so. Like three of them made it work for them, and Scott, the one, it didn't work for him. And Scott's more like me, like the way he eats, if you understand what I'm saying. But like the Starbucks, Dennis, I don't know if you do the dining plan. You know this that you can get a Starbucks coffee with that.
Yeah, I've seen the little stickers. Some of the pastry items are acceptable too, like the muffins and stuff like that. Yeah, I was aware of that.
So, but that was just the point I was making. They did a really good job, so I would say go over and listen. They always do a good job. I'm not just these, but these last two episodes, I really enjoyed them at work because we love food, and I was cracking up the way they were picking on Scott and they were talking about. And the other thing I don't get is, and you guys tell me. And we joke around with this, and I've been in wars online over this, which is silly as heck to me. When did it become law that if you like the Dole Whip, you can't like the citrus swirl? like right. like where did these battle lines get drawn?
Yeah, it's like you're cheating on the other if you say you don't mind one or the other. It's got to be your loyalty has to be with one. Yeah, that's been going on for years. It's kind of like the refillable mug issue. It just goes on and on and on, and people have their opinions, and you're not going to change them one way or the other.
All these first world problems, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sitting here like, and like Tiki Keith, and if you guys, like Tiki Keith, he's funny, and he's sitting there, like the other guys like the citrus swirl, and he's like, you're dead to me if you have the citrus swirl. He's all Dole Whip.
Right.
And I don't understand. Like, I tried to even think about. I'm at work, like by myself. This is the crazy crap I think about. And you guys think that I pick on Disney because I like to. No, I don't. I have to say it when it's bad. But and I'm sitting there thinking, like, if these are the biggest problems in the world, who Dole Whip and citrus roll? Wouldn't it be a great place? But I didn't know where the lines were drawn, where you can't like both.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you there, because I've heard many a battle. You're right. People are very passionate about that issue.
It'd be like me walking in the kitchen and say, Brenda, I cannot believe you're eating the vanilla. It's chocolate in this house, and that's it.
Right. Well, I think I said to you off the air, I forget what we were talking about, but it's like Coke and Pepsi, you know? It's like you can't like both. Most people have to you know, be a diehard Coke fan or a diehard Pepsi drinker, you know? There's nothing in between.
Oh, yeah. And when I was younger, it was Budweiser and Coors Light. Right. Bud and Coors, but really, whatever's there and it's, I'll drink it, man. and the same thing.
If you got those two, whichever one's colder would be just fine with me. That's good.
Well, you know what I'm saying, John. When you're like 20, 21 years old,
that's what I said. Whatever one's colder.
Exactly. You're not buying Victory Hellas every week. You know, for what I pay for a Victory Hellas, I can get a 12-pack of Coors Light. You know what I'm saying? It's like
absolutely. So whichever one's options. Colder, I'd be happy to take. So
no, but it just cracked me up. I mean, it's like blasphemy if you like a citrus swirl. I don't know what the heck is going on. But no, John. Well, I could see a lot of citrus swirls and Dole Whips in your future, buddy.
Absolutely. Happy days.
Well, we can't wait to you get. What do they give you out when you do good? Don't you get pins as rewards and stuff like that? What do they give you as your like the show that you're doing good?
You know, you get your pins to add on to your name tag after you've been there for a certain amount of years and stuff like that. But as far as I know, you just get letters of commendation and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm
actually
not sure.
Yeah, you, on your first anniversary, John, you'll get your one-year pin, which is Steamboat Mickey. It's a little copper. I used to call it copper.
Copper, then you broke up for a second, Dennis. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a brass or copper, and it's Steamboat Willie, and that'll commemorate your one-year anniversary. And then I believe your next one is at 5 years, 5, 10, 15, and there's different ones, and they're pretty awesome. And I'm sure you've seen them on eBay, even if you're not a Disney cast member. Some of the ones that once you get up there, you know, the 20, 25, 30-year pins, they're not valuable, but people do seek them out to purchase them because you can only get them working at Disney. You can't buy them anywhere.
Yeah, I probably need to find out what my cousin's wearing, because she moved, her and her husband moved down here from Illinois in 97 and got jobs at Disney then. And she's been out there since then. So she's got to be close to 20. So.
I heard something, she transferred over to Universal after all this. I'm just kidding with you, John.
It's just never going to end.
Come on, John. We love you. We can't wait to hear all. I'm serious. We're very proud of you. We're so happy. We're glad. You're really going to be our Florida correspondent now.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be out there all the time. So.
Yeah, every weekend. Think how pissed we're going to be now, Dan.
Why? What do you mean? That he's not only going on vacation or going for the weekend, he's going to be going to work as well.
Every weekend he's going to be there. Now, me and Dennis are going to have to pull the weight on Sundays by ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless I have Sunday off or something, but for the foreseeable future, I think I'll be working Sunday morning. So.
Well, we'll be milking you for information on Tuesdays. That's all I'm going to tell you now. We're looking
either
forward
that
to
or busting my balls.
No. We're proud of you. I only kid because I can, because we're boys. I wouldn't even joke. If I didn't love you, John, I wouldn't break them. That's how we roll here. But we're proud of you, John. Everybody go see John at the parks. We're looking forward to hearing John sightings. Take pictures and post them on Twitter.
What am I, Bigfoot now?
Exactly. And Pat Cianetti from the Mickey Dudes, he's going to be down there next month, so we can get him. He'll be over to see you, John.
Good deal.
If you don't want to see Pat, go to the Hall of Presidents or the American Adventure or Fantasmic, and you'll never see him.
Right.
Well, I'm not working at the Polynesian, so I don't think I'll see him at all. So.
No. Oh, you're probably right. Well, does he go to the Animal Kingdom?
I don't even know if he knows where it is.
I don't know if he does or not. But maybe if he does decide to go to the Animal Kingdom, you'll be able to meet Pat in person. He'll head over and see you. So that'll be.
I'll
cool.
Look for him.
So everybody, congratulate John on Twitter at Beer Solo. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find our good buddy Bob at It's All in WDW, who's waiting impatiently for all the food and wine menus right now.
Yes.
So we can't wait for them to come out. But yes, head over to our website, It's All in WDW. Check out all the latest and greatest articles over there. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Everybody have a blessed and great rest of your week. And we are very proud of you, John. Great job. And we will talk to you all real soon.
Good night, everybody.
Night, folks.
Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.